Hey, Brendan.
Hello, Alan.
Oh, hi, Jurgen.
Hey.
The Not a Thing podcast is up and running for episode 218.
Not bad.
Yeah, how have you guys been?
Turkey.
Good.
Turkey.
Enjoying, yeah, lots of turkey.
So much turkey. Yes, I do have leftover turkey as well. In this part of the world, it is the day after Thanksgiving. So there were, I don't know about you, but there were food comas galore on my end of things.
I had to drive home from San Jose in a food coma yesterday, and it went well, but there were worrying moments.
Oh,
Yeah,
Oh my gosh. Well, today, that means today is Black Friday.
don't say it, don't say it, don't say it.
Friday that shall not be named, Alan.
No. Oh, man. All
Are we
right,
cursed with we're
I'll,
cursed with
I got something to say on this Black Friday.
Are we cursed with 7 years of bad luck now or something? Or
Oh man, if you say it
7 years of more
times,
Black Fridays.
yes,
Oh,
if you say it 3 times in front of a mirror, your mirror breaks and you have to buy a new mirror, which will be cheaper at your local Best Buy, and it'll be with like integrated 3D cameras and stereo surround sound system. But you don't want that because Black Friday is literally the worst thing we need in the world right now. Do you guys know who Saladin Ahmed is, the cartoonist?
I don't.
No.
He, if I
I
had
mean, that's a
been
visual
better,
medium and this is an audio podcast, so I don't understand
true,
what you're talking about.
true. But if I had been better at superheroes and all that stuff, I would have remembered who he works for. But he, I've seen some of his stuff online and everything, and he had an excellent tweet today about how angry he was with big businesses for taking the one day a year where Americans are actually allowed to take the entire day off and chill to make them worry about go out and buy seemingly cheap things that they didn't really need and ruin their one day off. And I think that's kind of true. And the worst part about Black Friday is that it has now also made it to Norway. So Norway, which doesn't celebrate Thanksgiving, because as an American informed me on my very first year in California in 1999, I guess you guys don't have anything to be thankful for. So there's no reason for this Friday, any out of any Friday, to be celebrated in any particular way. Also, I mean, they celebrate Christmas, so there are Christmas sales, and there's a lead up to Christmas where they're trying to push consumerism. Halloween was adopted some years ago, so kids in Oslo now do trick or treating, and the stores are doing Halloween specials and push extra candy and all that kind of stuff. And Valentine's Day was adopted, which I'm fine with because, love the love. But now Black Friday, where they and it's where they have the camping out in front of the stores and limited amounts of it and la-di-das. And since this is still fairly new in Norway, they do interviews with store managers and marketing managers of the larger chains who openly say this is a great way to get rid of all the crap we have not been able to get rid of throughout the previous year. So if you're real smart, you're able to plan it for up to a year in advance and just get rid of really cheap things on this day. It's wonderful. People read these articles and they go like, yeah, super cheap. And they go ahead and buy tons of stuff they don't need. I am of the belief that we need to spend less, people. Use less, create less, buy less, and definitely consume less. So this day needs to stop being a thing. It is not a thing. Rant over.
I'm pretty sure, and correct me if I'm wrong, but back in episode, insert episode here, I think we did come to the conclusion that Black Friday is not a thing. Is that right, Brendan? I mean, it's been a whole year since we talked about it.
That does sound accurate.
I mean, we did probably
I
also
know
talk
it
about it
sounds un-American,
3 years
but
running, maybe?
yes.
I think it definitely shouldn't be a thing.
Yes, and we've outlined numerous reasons why, but it is interesting to have a fresh face on the podcast that also believes that it should not be a thing.
In any country on earth.
It just shows, I guess, that American influence is still going strong.
Yes. yes. So anyhow, that was my, on that warm and friendly note.
I would go even farther as to say any companies that offer extra deals on Thanksgiving itself, we should not be shopping at.
No, I agree. I actually invented a new rule this morning, which was that any company that sends me emails with Black Friday offers, I am now unsubscribing to them, the mailing list of.
Oh, I got many of those this morning. Many.
Will clear up my inbox in the future immensely. One of the smartest things I've ever done.
At least something good has come from that, then.
True.
Yes, I also did not partake in the shopping crunch this morning. What did I do this morning? I baked a loaf of sourdough bread, and I play video games.
Which ones?
Not bad. Well, I'm currently back in Horizon Zero Dawn because the expansion came out for the Frozen Wilds. It's it's good, you know, running around shooting things, bow and arrow, whatever. But certainly not the crush of humanity that was anything related to Black Friday.
No, I spent the entire morning in bed and then woke up and came and set up the podcast.
Nice. I think you might have won. Yeah. I know that we've talked about it in the past. I think, you know, as much or as little as you think of REI as a store, the one positive thing that they started last year was their hashtag opt outside. Have you heard of that?
Yes.
So their whole thing is that they don't have sales on Black Friday. They are closed. And they want you to go outside and not to other stores, but just go outside and do other things. I am planning on doing that right after this show, so that'll be nice. It's a nice day. At least in California, we're above 75 degrees here, which makes no sense. It's November, people. Come on. I love California.
Yeah, we turned that day around. So we started the day by going out and go for a long family walk, and then after podcasting, we were going to go to the movies and watch Coco. And it was really, really warm outside. It was, I thought it would be some kind of fall or wintry, but no. Do you think climate change is real?
No, I don't.
I think we've also come down on that on the podcast.
Yeah, that is a thing.
That's a thing.
But in California, you must remember, I know it's been a little while since you've been here, but we only have one season, and it's called summer. And we have sort of a season that lasts the rest of the year called Not Summer Yet. And it's...
Yes. Yes, and that one is progressively shorter with each year.
Well, speaking of things that are progressively shorter, are the list of companies that have not lost our data somehow to other companies is getting progressively shorter. We're going to stay on the, unfortunately, somewhat sad bent of bringing up another topic, which we've done in a while, but this one has come, at least to me, it has come to the fore a lot more recently, which is companies losing our data, losing things that they said were private. And it's not just companies. There was some news just a week ago, I think Brendan forwarded this to me, that the NSA had a huge leak, yet another one, which they are they're saying it's not that bad, but many sources are saying it's worse than the one that happened under Edward Snowden. And it's, you know, the NSA, you like to think that they're watching everything, and yet they lost stuff. So it's yet another example, at least in my mind, of companies and organizations not being able to control their data or our data in that respect, because that's the things that are often lost. There was Equifax earlier in the year, you know, the credit ratings for anyone and everyone in the world. Uber just announced that Earlier in the year, they paid $100,000 to suppress the leak of many, I don't remember how many, it was thousands of account informations, and they paid their Bitcoin ransom or whatever it was to not let that go public. And the new CEO claimed that that was the wrong thing to do, but they're not doing anything about it because that information's already out there. And there was an article in Germany, not to hit all of these at once, but Germany's actually taking steps which I think are really interesting. There's been a trend recently to have smartwatches for everybody, and generally, you know, like the Apple Watch or the Fitbit, it does more than just track like activity. It also can be paired with a phone and have location and have recording, two-way voice, things like that. Germany is saying that it's now trickled down all the way to the point where kids have smartwatches, and they're sold under the auspices of, oh, you can, you know, check in with your kids when they're on the go. That doesn't use a Wi-Fi connection. So, you know, it's a good idea, or at least it sounds like a good idea, except some parents were using it to spy on their kids, and especially what's happening in class with their teachers. And it becomes a privacy issue because in Germany, it's two-party consent for recording. So you both sides have to say that they understand that recording is happening, and then recording is allowed. Otherwise, it is an invasion of privacy. So the German government said all of these smartwatches pose too big of a privacy risk, and they're outlawed. Specifically, they said that one of the provisions was that all of the information that is being tracked by these watches is not secured in a reasonable way. And I think that's an interesting step because they could have just left it at the recording privacy angle, but what they went further to say that these companies have not put safeguards in place to make sure that that data is not misused. And as we've seen many times this year, that data can be lost and then misused by people that are trying to do, you know, different things because all of our authentication methods are so weird and arcane that it often comes back to forgot password and let me answer my security questions, all of which is data which can now be looked up in databases everywhere. So, ha, Black Friday that.
That's a different kind of Black Friday, but yes, that is. It is a disturbing note.
I mean,
I love how Uber is all like, we've totally turned a corner. We're going to treat everyone better and be open about everything. And then we start off that new year by being like, we're just going to pay these hackers off because they say they're going to delete that data if we give them $100,000.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, fine. Okay. Scout's honor.
Yeah.
But let's not tell anyone about it.
Yes. Yes. I think it's the thing that needs to come out of this is, and I haven't seen these things yet, is what do we do with our data if it's like we have to almost assume that it's going to be stolen?
Yeah,
pretty much.
This week, the latest issue of Wired also came out with a really disturbing story about cyber stalking, where a guy was really torturing a couple in another state that they'd met online and were friends in the beginning and then were not friends anymore, and how he had scoured the internet and found tons of information about them that was fairly open and available, and then he started impersonating them online and sending emails around in their names to family and friends and employers and stuff like that. So that got really ugly. So in addition to the actual data that's on services that you use, you also have to be very aware of what kind of other information you put of yourself online, because there are loonies out there, turns out.
Do you think it's a flaw in how most password systems are set up that they have those same generic questions?
Yes.
That people just put the same information for everything, or information that's actually look upable?
Yes. Absolutely.
Yes.
Yes. I mean, our
the name of your first dog.
Our password authentication system is ridiculous. First of all, like that we are reliant on these the like 12 characters with letters and numbers and symbols that we somehow have to have for everything, and yet can be so easily stolen and or subverted by hitting that forgot password button. I mean,
like, people can look up what your first car was. People can look up what school you went to. People can look up your mother's maiden name.
It's all on Facebook.
Yeah.
100% on Facebook.
It's all on social media.
And this is not to say that we shouldn't put our stuff in these systems. I mean, we have said that. We've definitely said that in the past, that it's hard to do that. But it's impossible. I mean, even for data that we would consider reasonably secure, that's just out the window now. I mean, it's easily obtainable if you go down the right paths. And I think it's become increasingly harder to secure that data. And what we need is ways to really hold companies accountable when they lose stuff. I mean, there really has not been that kind of response. When a company loses that data, it's like, oh, that's really terrible. And there's nothing after that. There's just a big old vacuum about what's going to happen for losing, you know, potentially identifying information for everybody.
Well, you look at someone like Equifax, like, you can't opt out of that.
Right.
No. And right after their giant scandal, like 2 weeks later, they get an undisputed giant new government contract that was uncontested and was not offered to any of their competitors. It was just like, all right, sign here. No problem. You guys are great.
Well, it was out of the news cycle after 2 weeks. Right.
True. Like anything sad. Yeah. Because there's so many new sad things to come in and take over.
Right. The news cycle, I know you wanted to have a topic about that. So let me push that out a little bit. This is the teaser for coming back to the next show. Episode 219. Yes. Please come back for that, possibly in episode 219. But
that was a sly teaser there.
Sticking with episode 218, which is where we are right now. I really don't know of a way to kind of protect that other than, I mean, the only thing I can think of, and it doesn't really help, is to at least have, I don't know, do you use a password manager or some other scheme that makes your passwords not the same everywhere?
Yeah, I use 1Password, and if 1Password wants to sponsor our podcast, feel free to do that, because this will be a bit of a plug. I've been using 1Password for the last 5 years, and I'm super happy with how they sync across the platforms and across my devices, stays up to date. It's interesting to see how when I got it 5 years ago, it recommended passwords with like 6 to 8 characters in when it generates new passwords. And now it's more up to like between 12 and 15. So right. It's just gotten and more crazy digits and symbols and everything in there. So it's evolved with the complexity needed from passwords. It's a great service.
When you said that, I thought you meant you just use 1Password for everything. Like, yes. Jorgen, that's not secure.
Jorgen, don't say that online. And the password is nipple.
No. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
No, I've graduated past that. Thank God.
Good, good. Yes, yeah, strong that's passwords are good. I think password managers are good or a thing. I don't know. It's one of those things that we really need to have more awareness of and be kind of looking for more accountability in that space. Although, moving over to a topic where accountability is going away, unfortunately, is...
Nice segue!
You're not supposed to comment on it before I'm done. Sorry. Segue.
Classic.
I'm just a little jealous because I was thinking about another segue, but very, very well done. Very well done.
You mean the two-wheeled kind that kind of roll around and you can just hold them? Is that what you mean when you say
that everyone thought was going to be like the feeder into emergency rooms all over the world? Yes.
Yes. But in any case, segueing over to net neutrality, Jürgen.
Yes. My segue was actually going to be based more on how the FCC had received a ton of public comments and feedback on their proposals.
Oh, yes, they did.
And 97% of them were positive and supportive of it. But then it turns out that most of those, like 97% of those again, were created by bots. And how the New York Attorney General noticed that and said that was kind of peculiar. And hey, FCC, why don't you share that data with us so we can figure out where all those bots and replies came from? And the FCC did not reply to emails. Not in July, not in August, September, or October, and just decided not to cooperate with the New York Attorney General about that, because the FCC also said, because of all the fake replies, we have decided to look away from public input to our new net neutrality rules because it has been so convoluted and clouded by bots. So that's not an openly clear process, put it that way. But yes, onto the topic of net neutrality. I am confident, and I've been assured by Comcast, both on tweets and in emails, that they will not take advantage of these new rules. That they will continue letting the internet be what the internet is, and even though these new rules may open up for it, they will not, you know, throttle or prioritize or change how they're letting us take advantage of the internet as a Comcast user.
So I'm
really assured of that, and I think that's going to be great.
I am assured this is true.
Oh my god!
Yes,
my sources tell me that this is the truth. So what we're talking about is net neutrality, which we've talked about numerous times on the show. This is 100% a thing, and yet when they vote in two weeks?
Yeah, December 14th, I think I saw.
2 weeks, it may not be a thing anymore, which is really, really messed up, because I really don't know what we can do about it. It's not Congress's kind of fight. Not that we can write anyone in Congress that has enough pull anymore. It's really up to the board of the FCC, which we've said for a while is totally in the pocket of every major ISP out there that wants net neutrality taken away.
Because the board is made up of five people. And at the moment, you have three Republicans and two Democrats. And at least the three Republicans, from what I've understood, are, if not former employees of the ISPs, then at least have worked for them as lawyers. And the guy who leads it, Ajit Pai, used to be a lawyer for Verizon,
right?
And is heavily in the pocket of that side of the industry.
Not a thing.
It really bums me out that we still have to keep talking about this.
Right, right.
Yes.
Like, this should be settled.
When Comcast spends a ton of time tweeting and sending emails and everything, I think back to earlier this fall when they just decided that for all of their plans, there was now broadband plans. There was now an upper maximum of gigabytes that you could download during a month. And if you went beyond that, then it would be $10 extra per 50 gigabytes. Mm-hmm. We already pay a ton for our broadband. It's tax deductible for me since I work from home and I'm an independent contractor, but it's still a ton of money. And for them to then suddenly be like, oh, yeah, by the way, we're not going to up our prices, but you can only use it this much within a month. It's kind of a dick move.
Cost them any more either.
Right.
No.
Right.
It's ridiculous. Right.
The service
is just
isn't
a way
getting,
to like, how can we make more money? Right.
It's not like the service gets better if you pay them more, because it certainly does not.
It's just saying that, you know, yesterday this did cost $8, but I've decided now it is going to cost $12. and there's no reason for that. There's no innovation that they're adding to. I mean, the extra money that they get from us only goes to increased profit. They're not going to, you know, by Paul Ryan's magical socioeconomics, they're not going to hire more people just because they get more income. They're not going to reinvent and put it into innovation and come up with a new internet or anything like that. Those guys are not, and they're not laying out that all that new cable. They're not putting in fiber up to where I live so that I can get even faster internet. It's a sham.
Yes. Yes.
And they're also claiming to not throttle services, which I know for a fact is hooey because I use a service called Plex, which works, which is clearly throttled because it's not one of the big ones, where people in our neighborhood with other ISPs using the same service have crystal clear, beautiful traffic. Plex signal is slowed down to unusable speeds. So it's not a great situation.
Oh, it's like they're doing that thing that they're saying they won't do if they change the rules to allow them to do the thing that they're already not supposed to do.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. And the like under this particular administration, there's lots of craziness.
Understatement part, of the podcast, by the way.
True, it's the Norwegian understatement. But part of me is also thinking, okay, so is this going to be just like a back and forth thing? Because these rules that they're reversing now are only 2 years old.
Right.
So will it be like so that when our next president or Kamala Harris comes in and will then change the makeup of the FCC board, will then they on day three just decide to turn things back around again? Or how reversible are these new rules?
Until Congress actually passes legislation, that's kind of where we're going to be.
Right.
It's going to ping pong until there's an actual legislative solution.
Yeah.
Which they also are in the pocket of big ISP. So that just won't even come to the table.
No. Yes, because that goes... that is. Even when we had a Democratic Congress, not that far ago, they could have done something with this. But of course, the big pockets of the ISP's lobbyists cover both parties.
Yeah, and this is
not
really,
just one of them.
And it's really something that we've talked about this a lot, right? Net neutrality, having the internet, really has become like a requirement in the world. And it is, and yet it is still treated as a way to essentially squeeze everybody, right? Find a way to make everyone pay as much as possible for something that really, you know, should be up there with those kinds of inalienable rights. I mean, it's sort of sad to think of it that way. Like, I need the internet to do things out in the world, but I really do. It really has come to that.
No, but I completely agree. And that's where I'm wondering when we're going to see the first Supreme Court case based on this particular thing, because it almost becomes a First Amendment question. Yeah. When you put your stuff online, is it part of your First Amendment rights that people should be able to access that as easily as some company's website that is paying your ISP a ton of money?
And I think that will come, but I also think that it will take a while for the folks in Congress to understand what they mean when people say the internet. I think that's still kind of loose. It wasn't that long ago that it was described as a series of tubes, if I'm remembering correctly.
Well, I mean, that's how it works, so that's fine.
So yet another thing that we hope to look at and think about and worry about in our world. But thinking about things that we should look at and worry about is a video we saw from our old favorite, the we've talked about them numerous times on the show, but the inventor of the robot dog. Remember that one that we talked about on the show a while ago? Why can't I remember the name of the company?
Boston Dynamics.
Boston Dynamics, yes. They had the robot, the very large robot dog that they were gonna that was tethered, and then it wasn't tethered, so it could run on its own on battery power. It could like chase things and carry loads and stuff, and you know, they're like, oh no, it won't be ever be used as a weapons platform. No, never.
And then they had the one that where you poked it with a stick and it didn't fall over and it came after you. It's like nightmare.
It could stand itself back up after it had been knocked over. And so their latest one is a freestanding, like bipedal humanoid style robot that can A, jump from platform to platform and keep its balance, as well as do a backflip.
First they took our jobs. And I didn't say anything because I didn't really like it. But then...
I mean, technology-wise, so cool.
So cool.
Scary factor, so cool. Off the scale.
Off the charts.
Because, again, this is completely battery-powered and untethered. They just need to throw all the pattern recognition engines into it that they've, I'm sure, been building up from everything else out in the world, and it can probably do crazy things.
Yeah, I love how people are talking about robotization and AI as two separate things, and no one is talking about what happens when we combine the two. I mean, that's the frightening. Then you're talking Terminator 2.
That's a real problem.
I like how you go to Terminator 2, which is a very good movie, and I would say surpasses the first one in a number of ways.
Easily. But I just realized that he's got the liquid robot thing going on, and we're not there just yet. But Terminator 1 could happen within not too long.
Sure. I wish Terminator 3 never happened, however. And maybe not 4 or 5 either, for that matter. But...
If you could delete one movie from the world, would you delete Terminator 3 or Terminator Salvation?
Salvation.
Yeah.
That's not even a question.
I don't think I've seen either of them.
Good for you.
I'm blissfully unaware.
Yeah, you might want to stay away. But speaking of movies and seeing ones and not seeing ones, are we in spoiler territory yet, or do we have a little bit of time?
I think we can make that leap.
Okay. All right.
Do it.
Before we get into the movies, I wanted to get into a way to see movies. It's a new subscription service. And by new, I mean it's been around for years. But they just recently changed their pricing model so that people will actually use it. It's a company started by one of the co-founders of Netflix and the president of Redbox. So someone who clearly knows things about screwing up the paradigm for viewing any media.
Hashtag disruption.
It's called MoviePass. It's a monthly subscription service where you now pay $10 a month and you can go see a movie every day of the month.
What?
You can see every movie once, but you can go once a day and go see a movie. And I've been using it for the last 3 months. And it totally works, and it's legit.
I don't understand how movie houses think that makes sense.
Like, so AMC has been really vocal against it.
Yeah.
The theory is they want to start their own subscription service.
Right.
And so they're trying to get them to stop. But the way it works is you pay the monthly fee to MoviePass. They ship you a debit card. And then there's an app on your phone. So when you get within 100 yards of the movie theater, you can check into a movie viewing. And then it authorizes the amount of one movie ticket on your debit card. And you just go pay with the card. So the movie houses themselves aren't losing any money on this.
Hmm.
Like they're getting – you can go – like I went to the local indie movie theater and they get their full $11.
Interesting. Oh, that's so interesting. I think that in the absence of other systems, which I'm sure will spring up, It will, I don't know, it's the thing that I want from all the TV stations that are now being rolled into the internet. Right? Right? I don't need 14 different subscription services in order to watch my TV. I liked paying one. I just didn't like paying the company that I paid. And now that I've you know, it's but for movies, I think that's great. Only because I still like going to movies in theaters. It's still a thing. It's just it's so expensive.
Yeah, and I mean, you still spend money on. I mean, most theaters make their money on concessions,
right?
So people are still going to be spending that money for the most part. And actually even potentially spending more because they would be going more often.
Right. Right. It does seem like a good idea, which means someone doesn't like it somewhere.
Well, yeah, the people who want to open a competing service.
So this just exists because the other companies bought into it however many months ago or years ago when this started, and now that it's become more affordable, they're scrambling to make up that difference, I assume.
Yeah. And right now, I mean, they're just trying to, it feels like they're trying to just accumulate subscribers.
Uh-huh.
Because they're definitely operating at a loss right now.
Sure.
Because if you go to one, like for me, when I go to one movie a month, I'm already ahead by $1.
Yeah.
Because movies up here are $11. And I paid $10 for the service. So right now they're losing money. But the idea is that they, two ways that they actually make money on this. One, they're selling my data.
Sure.
Which, and this is one of the few instances where that's fine with me. You want to know what movies I'm going to see? That's fine. I mean, they're not getting any other data from me.
Oh, well, that's
other than when I go to the movies and what movie I'm seeing.
And where.
And where. And so some of the things that you aren't as easy with this is you can't use it to go see 3D movies, which is fine with me because fuck those.
I hate 3D. Well,
not a thing.
You can't go see IMAX, which is unfortunate, but I understand that's a premium ticket. Like that costs a lot more.
There are very few bona fide IMAX theaters, though, at least near me. I feel like it's San Francisco, and then the next one is Lafayette, which is like 60 miles away.
Yeah, San Francisco, Dublin has one.
Right, right. Mm. That's what I'm thinking, yeah.
But so you can't pay for those premium movies, and you have to purchase the ticket on site. So you can't buy seats when you're not at the theater, like ahead of time.
Right.
Which isn't that big of a deal.
No.
But if you're going to try and use it for, you know, an opening night movie, you're going to have more trouble with that.
Yeah, that makes sense. And that's a natural throttle. At least for me, for when I see them anyway. I don't try and see them, you know, when it's too crowded because I have that issue.
So the end goal for them, from according to their CEO, is to leverage the movie production companies so they could take all this data to them saying, look at when we advertise or, you know, push certain movies on our service, people go and see them so that they can get bought into the profits of the movies themselves. And leverage that power.
I actually am 100% fine with that. I think,
right?
I think it means that it makes more of a link between the movie makers and the theater kind of experience. It's like we're actively trying to make movies that people want to see in theaters, which I think is a great idea.
It makes me feel like when I'm voting with my dollar by going to the movies, I'll have a stronger voice. And I'll totally take them for a ride because I go see movies all the time.
Yeah, totally a thing. I think I'm going to go sign up for this later. Not sponsors of the podcast, however.
Yeah.
No, but if they'd like to.
Yet.
And the even crazier thing, right now, they're doing a limited offer where you can buy a yearly plan. And it works out to like $7 a month.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Like you pay $90 for the year.
Yeah. Yeah.
So...
Right.
If you're a person who goes to the movies a lot, or is it the National Theater, NATO, National Association of Theater Owners?
Oh, not the North Atlantic Treaty Organization.
No, the other one. the cool NATO.
Okay.
No, that's not true. They're not the cool NATO. They say that if they consider someone who is a frequent moviegoer is someone who goes to the movies 18 times a year.
Oh my gosh, that's
I go way more than that.
I guess I'm a frequent moviegoer. I didn't know that. Okay,
and that's only something like 11% of the population of people who go to movies.
Wow. Okay.
So there really there is the potential here to really increase theater viewership.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm down. That sounds cool.
So yeah, so, between that and the local theater installing reclining leather chairs and serving booze, I think I'm just going to move it to the movie theater.
So I had I've tried to find this again, but I'm fairly sure that in the last month I've stumbled across an article that discussed how some studios were now exploring a premium service to have movies stream on the same weekend that they open in the theaters.
Oh yeah, we've
yeah, it's a thing.
We've talked about that in the past for certain movies. That was a thing, and it tended to be, at least when I was seeing it, more indie films, which I think have, you know, they tend to struggle in a theater experience anyway.
Right.
So I think that makes a lot of sense. I think the time to stream if there's a metric in there has certainly gotten shorter. Like it used to be that if you watched a movie in a theater, you couldn't see it again on either a cable channel or a streaming service or a, you know, as a physical download physical copy until something like 6 months have come by. Now it seems much, much shorter. It's not even 3 months, it seems.
It has gotten progressively shorter, yeah. And also the global distribution window, because living in Norway, we used to have to wait 6 months for things that it had aired here in America, in the first world, to get to us over there. But that's gotten much shorter as well. But I do think that there, I can't remember what it was, but when I read that, I was like, yes, please. I would love some movies. You just, for example, I'm now very much looking forward to Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, which Brandon, you've already seen, and you have informed me that despite the lies of Internet Movie Database, it's already available in my neighboring town, which I will go to as soon as I have some time to myself. But I would love to just watch that at home, because that's not a movie that necessarily needs a large screen and the audio experience of the movie theater, and could just as easily be enjoyed at home.
This is true.
But I think that's a thing, and I would like to support that in addition to MoviePass.
Mm. Yeah, we just want all our content, and we want it now in the way we exactly want it.
And we don't want to pay super extra for it because it's this kind of content or that kind of content. Rounding
exactly.
Things back to the net neutrality issue we were talking about at the beginning of the show. But now I think it's appropriate, speaking of movies we have seen and haven't seen, to go into spoiler land. So spoilers be coming. Hope you're aware. What is making that sound? Is anyone else picking that sound up?
I am also hearing it, okay. But I do not know what's causing it.
All right. There's like a clicking or a rustling.
Well, that's me. I'm moving around in my bed.
Are you playing? Whoa, okay. All right. By the way, the podcast is recorded separately in three separate locations.
True. Yes, until you get your Tesla, because then we are recording an episode from the entirety of it from inside your new Tesla.
We are absolutely doing that. And that will be a thing, hopefully soon. In the meantime, what movies should we talk about, Brendan?
I think we should talk about a couple movies that I saw using MoviePass. one of which I would have paid and actually have paid to see again, Thor Ragnarok. It's a winner.
It's a thing. I really enjoyed it as well.
I know I get hyped every year, every 6 months when they put out a new Marvel movie, and 80% of the time I really enjoy it. But I think even with my tinted glasses, this is one of their best efforts.
I agree. I think one of the biggest thing that we talk about with Marvel movies is that they do seem so formulaic, and it's really easy to kind of watch the progression of the movie and really feel that. But I think this one, it definitely doesn't break out of the mold in terms of the formula, but it is pushing the boundary just enough that it feels more novel than a lot of the other ones in the past.
Yeah, it felt very much more in line with a Guardians of the Galaxy style
right.
movie than, say, Thor the first movie.
Or the second one, for that matter.
Yeah.
The Dark World.
It's definitely the best Thor movie.
Yeah, right. Which, the bar is, I don't know.
Not super high.
But I really enjoyed it. And I especially loved Kate Blanchett. Like, it's like the complete opposite of her Galadriel character from Lord of the Rings. It's like, instead of kind of white and light and airy, and it's like the black heart of hell. It's like,
she's
okay,
the goddess of death.
Yeah, I'm 100% down with Hella Kate Blanchett.
Hella
Kate Blanchett, yeah. So I'm a little bummed that you've not seen this movie yet.
I tried hard to get to see it, but I was domesticized and ended up on pie-making duty.
You know, that's 100% great. My only thing is I really wanted to get your take on the movie, being from the Norse lands.
The land of the ice and snow.
Yes, where the midnight sun glows. I can't remember that last line, but yes. So I can ask you some interesting questions, maybe. But let's start with the Ragnarok. I mean, Ragnarok in Norse mythology is the end of the world,
right?
Yes.
How is it portrayed in the film
as the end of the world?
Right. I thought they did a great job, because I'm a comic fan, and I like the Thor kind of mythology, but I like it because I like the underlying Norse mythology a fair amount. I mean, I just read the Neil Gaiman kind of retranslation and retelling of the Norse myths.
Oh, yes. That's on my book list.
Oh, it's great. It's 100% great. And I've read other things in that kind of vein, so it's always fit really well. So I was like, how are they going to do the end of the world? And I'm like, you nailed it. Well done, guys.
Nice. So I would expect the movie to, since there probably will be sequels, I had expected them to kind of prevent the end of the world, thanks to Thor and his hammer.
No, they pretty much incite it.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. They follow the what must happen.
Yeah.
Mm.
Fenris comes back. It's great. The Fenris the wolf comes back. It's like everything I wanted. It was great.
Nice. And is Loki still involved to an extent?
Oh, yes.
In fact, I think this is his best movie.
Yeah.
Hiddleston in general, or that
character? No. His character.
That character.
His character.
Mm.
I think Hiddleston's best thing might have been The Night Manager.
I do agree, because that is an excellent miniseries.
I still haven't seen it.
Oh, finally. Something I've seen that Brendan has not.
Well, we'll put that one on the list for sure. But I think I thought it was great. It had the right balance of things. I think, if anything, it was a little more ridiculous than it needed to be. But I'm rather it corrected that way than the dark and brooding that has infected everything else.
It had a lot of Thor trying to be brooding, but just kept making him the punchline of every joke.
Right.
That you couldn't. And he could, like, the world of the movie did not allow him to get down on himself and for the movie to slow down. Like, it just felt like it had momentum going the entire time.
Yeah.
But I wonder how much of that is because of the director. Because the director of this one is the guy who did What We Do in the Shadows.
Yes.
which is hilarious.
And it is a similar style of humor. He actually is in the movie. He provides the voice of one of the characters.
Mm-hmm. Ah.
Yeah, no, it definitely captures that same style, but with cool action and bright alien stuff, and Jeff Goldblum steals every moment of that movie that he is in.
And clearly they did not script him at all, right?
Right.
Every line of his and every scene of his, especially the one where he's like just randomly DJing, it's like, what is, okay, I'm on board, let's do this.
Oh, no, I'm getting even more excited to see it. I mean, a lot of people don't know that Jeff Goldblum is actually Jermaine Pennant's older brother. So playing off of that same nerve from What We Do in the Shadows makes sense. No, he's not. I'm kidding.
Like, wait, what? Like,
we're waiting. Like, that's not true. I'm pretty sure that's not true. Not a thing. Okay, great.
No, it's not.
No, but in the comics, from what I have read, his character in Thor Ragnarok is the brother of Benicio del Toro's character in Guardians of the Galaxy.
That makes sense. Because I don't know. Yeah, I thought there was a certain kind of like similarity into how that was going, and I thought they were just doing it because they couldn't recast or couldn't bring back Benicio del Toro. I'm not familiar, like I said, I'm not familiar enough with the comic and what they've done to kind of, you know, deviate from that or build it up or shore it up, and I'm fine with that. I think it can be its own kind of universe. I would actually prefer it if they didn't hew so close to the original, because I find that is very limiting in a lot of kind of work where it comes from something else, especially the comic book Walking Dead. But but yeah, I think it's a really good series, and it feels like a good movie both on its own as well as in the Marvel kind of arc of things. So I think it's something that should be seen.
Also, Carl Urban is in this movie.
Yes,
and
he is.
He's a, you know, known person, fan of the podcast. Or the podcast is a fan of him.
Let's be clear. Let's be clear.
Practically the same thing.
Right, yeah. Pretty much. I mean, he'll be on next show.
Hopefully.
Don't quote me, but
we've talked so much about his work. He should come on.
Yeah.
And I remember I watched the first Thor movie. I did not watch the second one, and I don't watch a lot of the superhero movies, but I did watch the Ghostbuster Redux.
Yes.
Of last year.
Uh-huh.
With Chris Hemsworth playing a fascinating character, which I quite enjoyed him in that one, I must say. And I kind of got a little bit more respect from him than I would done from other things that he's done.
It's too bad that movie was pretty terrible. But
he was the high point of the movie for me. I was just wondering how much of, like, did you see any of that kind of, just like the ability to just make a little bit more fun of yourself?
Oh, yeah.
It seems at least
his
to me
timing
to be very,
is excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if you've seen any of the short films that they did promoting the movie, where it's Thor with his roommate.
Yes.
Check those out, because the way as it's incorporated into the movie, that's the closest I've seen like companion material, other than maybe Blade Runner, which directly affected the story. But this, like, it almost, the movie seemed to canonize that side material.
Nice. I will check that out. I already love it, I can tell.
Yeah. So the next movie I wanted to talk about, I will say, if you have the option of seeing this next movie or seeing Thor Ragnarok for the second or third time, go see Thor Ragnarok again in the theater. I'm talking about Justice League.
Oh, I already am dreading this.
My spoiler-free review, meh. Period. Like, that's it. Like, it was meh. It wasn't actively terrible. It wasn't good. It was a movie.
I find that I'm seeing more movies that are like this. Like I don't remember when I saw the Independence Day sequel, bringing back Jeff Goldblum again, but when I saw that, my impression of it was actively mediocre. In other words, yes, it was being as to the line as it could about doing all the things that it could do to check all the boxes, but does nothing out of the ordinary or interesting or something that I'd want to see again.
Yeah, Justice League didn't even have any cool set piece battle that you really need to see on the big screen. It was all just a blur of CGI, boring characters. The first 30 minutes really felt like it was directed by Zack Snyder, and it was just a big bummer fest. And then you can see where Joss Whedon started his reshoots, because every line that everybody says for the rest of the movie is some sort of joke, which is a complete turnaround from the rest of the movie.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, Batman was the least interesting character I felt in the movie, which is a problem for a Justice League movie. Yeah. It's Batman.
Right.
He should be great. Wonder Woman felt like a step back.
Oh, that's really unfortunate, because I really, really enjoyed Wonder Woman.
Yeah, that felt like a step back for that character and the world that they created in that Patty Jenkins movie.
Mm-hmm.
The Flash, I actively disliked, which I love the current DC TV version that they have on the CW. I think they've really captured the Barry Allen character on that show.
Oh, so it's not a connection point. The movies and the TV shows are not connected in that way?
No, they are separate. And actually, within the TV show, they deal with the multiverse. So there are different, 53 different Earths.
Right.
So I would assume they just say that the DC movies are in one of those Earths.
Hmm.
But yeah, they don't acknowledge that they exist.
That's an interesting choice for them.
The new Flash, he was annoying. They tried to make him too quirky and nerdy, which really isn't that character that much. And the way that he ran was like no human has ever run.
Is it worse than the Naruto run? That's my question.
I can't say.
Okay.
when the Flash ran in this movie, it looked like one of those Jesus lizards that runs on water.
Yeah.
There's way too much arm action going on. It was like he was swimming through air.
Okay.
Which they also have Aquaman, who is basically just a pirate. Jason Momoa Aquaman.
And he can't talk to fishes.
No.
What? I heard.
Wait.
Yeah, no, he doesn't talk to fish.
What?
Oh, okay.
But there is actually kind of a funny line where Batman keeps asking him if he can talk to fish. And he says, no, I talk to the water. The water talks to the fish. Or something. I don't know. It was...
All right.
There were a few moments of humor. There is a reaction shot. I'm going to spoil this right now. You know how in Batman vs. Superman they killed Superman? Superman comes back.
Oh.
I'm not surprised. Oh, my God.
Real big surprise seeing he's in the promotional material.
Right.
But I will say it might be the best iteration of the current Superman movies, because when he comes back from being dead, he actually seems like Superman.
Oh, well, it took
and he's not just grim brooding guy.
Yeah.
Is this Henry Cavill?
Yes. With his digitally removed mustache. Because they had to do reshoots, and he's currently filming Mission Impossible 6, which he has a mustache in, and they couldn't have him shave it off. So they had to go in and post and remove the mustache.
They didn't pull Cesar Romero and just got to put makeup over it,
It was from what I've seen, it's a luscious mustache. Probably a while.
Mm.
Were you at like Offerman level?
Yeah.
Ooh.
It's a good looking mustache. But there is a moment where Superman returns, spoilers, and the look on Ben Affleck's face is just this goofy grin. So you've got Batman in the middle of a battle hanging from a wall, just staring dumbfaced, seeing Superman come back and kick everyone's ass.
Like, so Ben Affleck is laugh using out his, loud. Ben Affleck using his third facial expression.
Yes. No, the most interesting character in the movie was Cyborg, which I would never have called in a million years. He was well acted, interesting character arc. But that was about it. The villain was CGI bullshit. Oh. And it's the villain Steppenwolf, which in the Superman mythology, he's like a second or third tier bad guy.
Right.
And the concept is the only reason he came back or came to Earth is because Superman was dead. So as soon as Superman comes back, it's over very quickly.
It almost sounds like they're running out of ideas.
I know. It's a problem when in your movie, the highlight of the movie is the post-credit scene.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which in this one has Jesse Eisenberg as Lex Luthor, actually playing like Lex Luthor, not what he did in the last movie.
You know, I never saw Batman Superman.
Don't.
Me neither.
Do it. Skip it. That's fine. Read the Wikipedia article about it. That's all you need.
What I will see is probably the next Wonder Woman movie, because I love that. I don't know if it's entirely true, but I do love that story about Gal Gadot, however you pronounce her last name. How she was only signed on to do one movie, because apparently the studio didn't have entire faith that it was going to be a franchise afterwards.
Right.
And she didn't get paid all that much for it. Which gave her all the power when they came back and said, let's make three more. And she's like, yeah, I will, but I want to get paid this much. And I want to make sure that Brett Ratner is not involved at all. which they then caved and said, fine, have all the money and no Brett Ratner.
Right.
Yeah. Having a world where there's less movies with Brett Ratner in it is a morally better world. And having a having a world where there's less Zack Snyder movies is a creatively better world.
I think I back you up on both of those.
Thing.
Definitely a thing.
So yeah, go see. I think it was just really hard to see Justice League right after seeing Thor and seeing how good a comic book movie can be and how creative you can be with it. Mm. And then it just felt like such a step back.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, well. Maybe I'll put that on the Razzies list. I usually try and watch a couple of those whenever that comes back around, and you know, kind of laugh to myself. But I don't know if I want to put myself through that.
I would say put yourself through that before you put yourself through Valerian and the City of a Thousand Planets.
Oh, it's so unfortunate.
That is the worst piece of shit that I've seen.
Which is so sad, because Luc Besson used to make good movies.
He did. He's clearly lost it. I don't know. It was bad. It was really, really bad.
A thought for another day and maybe another show. Speaking of which, the show, if you have been listening to this, thank you very much. We want to thank you for listening to the Not a Thing podcast, sharing, retweeting, all the stuff that you need to do in order to get more people to listen to this wonderful show of ours, available at notathingpodcast.com. on iTunes and people's hard drives everywhere. If you would like to be part of the Not a Thing podcast as a guest or as someone with an idea or a thing or even a not thing that you would like to share with us, please do tweet at us, Facebook us, find us on the internets or in the real world and let us know about it, because we would love to have you on our show in some capacity. In the meantime, I guess we're wrapping this one up. Please do come back in 2 weeks for episode 219. We're pretty much on a 2 week cadence right now with the with how things are going. I think it's working. I'm pretty happy with it anyway. How about you guys?
I will return.
Yes.
And in 2 weeks, I'll be in Norway. So maybe I'll find someone there we can have as a guest.
Ooh.
Ooh.
We might have to hold you to that. We'll see.
Now I'm going to have to start thinking of someone.
Huh. Who could that be?
Excellent. Well, in that case, gentlemen, I will talk to you next week or the week after that. Something to that effect.
Excellent. Until next time.
Bye-bye.